If you enjoy the harrowing of Minerva Damson and want to join the Order of Joan in their fight against the monsters stalking the trenches, there are several ways you can support the war effort. Find us on Patreon and enlist, or donate to the Order on Acast. You can also connect with Order headquarters via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Links can be found in our bio. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is a horror podcast and contains descriptions of war that some may find graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The black shivered away, opening up space for renewed pain and fear. Gabby gasped and bit back another cry as the pain intensified, localizing around her ribs. Leaves swayed against a bright blue sky above her. The canopy of the tree whose trunk had oh so suddenly brought her roll down the hillside to a stop. Caught her by the ribs, it seemed, but she could breathe, so if she'd broken any bones, they hadn't punctured her lungs. Shuffling footsteps approached her, and her heart stuttered, picturing the cockatrice stalking near, preparing to disembowel her with one sweep of its thick talons. But no, the step was too light. Stravko's face appeared above hers, pale, sweating, and bloodied with scratches. There was a red weal on his forehead already swelling up that promised to make a spectacular bruise.
Gabriella,
he exhaled, and some of the immediate worry in his expression drained to relief. Gabby screwed her eyes closed, each breath full of air, aching. It's Gabby, she croaked, spidering her fingers gingerly across her own tender flesh. Only my mama calls me Gabriella. Above her, Stravko was recovered enough from his shock to roll his eyes.
Gabby, fine. Can you sit up?
If you help me, maybe. He gripped her forearm with one hand and supported her shoulders with the other, levering her upright.
Does anything feel broken?
Everything, Gabby grunted, bracing her hand against her side. But I reckon it only feels that way. Except for my ribs. Those might actually be cracked. What about you? He had been up and about, which seemed to bode well, but the body could do some pretty amazing things in the heat of danger that it couldn't manage otherwise. Crouched beside her, he certainly looked banged to hell. Every bit of exposed skin was covered in fine, crimson scratches. A few ragged, deeper slashes had bled freely, but were now in the business of clotting over. Both his arms and legs seemed to be working fine. His head, too, lumps aside. He shrugged.
Well, horse is lame. She's standing, but she's favoring her leg. I don't know if it's broken or sprained. Either way, nobody will be able to ride her anytime soon.
Wincing, Gabby turned her head to look for herself. She'd almost rolled to the bottom of the steep hill before catching up on the tree trunk. Stravko and the horse had both landed where the ground leveled, it seemed. The gray mare's head drooped. She stood, shivering, her nostrils flared wide. As Gabby watched, she tried to shift her weight but flinched from tip to tail, lifting one hind hoof off the ground in agitation.
She's gone.
Gabby glanced back at Stravko. He looked a bit green beneath that red chicken scratch crisscrossing his face.
It got her, it...
The glimpse Gabby'd had of the carnage flickered through her mind before she pushed it firmly away. It wouldn't do any good thinking about it, and it just wouldn't do to have Stravko lose his nerve now. Where's my rifle? It wasn't slung over her shoulder. She must have lost it in the tumble. Stravko blinked, that faraway look receding as he scanned the hillside.
There.
He pointed halfway up the slope.
I'll get it.
As he stumped up to the Winchester, Gabby struggled to her feet, gripping the tree trunk to steady herself. Carefully, she undid the buttons of her coat, pushed one side back, and, Stravko be damned, lifted the right side of her shirtwaist. The skin over her ribs was a bright, angry red. Once again, she probed the tender area, then the skin around it and along her abdomen. By the time Stravko returned, Winchester in hand, she'd figured her ribs were only bruised. She'd broken a rib before, or, more accurately, an ornery mule had with a vicious kick. This didn't feel so bad as that. Perhaps fractured at worst. And she didn't seem to have any other obvious internal injuries, though she'd have to keep a close eye on herself. After a brief inspection of her Winchester, she concluded it, too, had fared the fall well enough. She'd have to clean it. The mirror on its butt had one long, deep break in it, but it wasn't shattered beyond use. They'd gotten away lucky, all things considered.
Can you walk?
Stravko asked. Slowly. Gabby grimaced. You may have to carry the rifle for a ways. Where's yours?
Lost it on the ride. And my hatchet is back with...
He looked over his shoulder, then tilted his head skyward, eyeing the sun.
We should go. We don't know if that thing will come back for us.
They shuffled off, all three of them limping, the horse led by her reins and stumbling every so often. After a time, they came upon a stream, and Stravko turned to follow it northwest, explaining tersely that there should be a village upstream called Stoylova. Eventually, Gabby shouldered her rifle again, despite the extra weight aggravating her bruised side, so that Stravko could take the burden of the saddlebags from the horse's back. They each concentrated on their footing for a long while, both lost in their own thoughts and nursing their own hurts. Then, apropos of nothing, Stravko spoke.
Bogomila's dead.
Gabby looked over at him, wondering if she was expected to say anything at all. She is, God rest her soul.
You shot that cockatrice. I saw at least one bullet strike.
She smoothed her hand over her coat front, feeling the final bullet's hard shape in her pocket.
I did, but that thing's skin is tougher than a boar's hide and magical to boot.
She chewed the inside of her cheek thoughtfully. Truth be told, she'd been turning it over in her mind, the problem of how to kill it. And with only one bullet left. Stravko nodded.
We aren't going back then.
Gabby absently returned his nod. She didn't like the delay, but...
We could go back to Burgess and regroup, I suppose. Maybe pick up another magic bullet or two.
That last part was difficult to force from her lips. And it'd take a few weeks just to make that ammunition. She'd seen what that monster could do now. How much more destruction and carnage could it wreak in 2 weeks? It almost didn't bear thinking about. And, from the wary way it was eyeing their trap, it seemed like it was getting smarter, too. If it had time to grow any wiser, who was to say it wouldn't start luring them into traps of its own design? If they'd just done what Gabby had first proposed, found open ground, maybe this would all be over now. In fact, she was sure...
No, we aren't going back to the Order.
Gabby almost tripped. The lurch sent a bolt of burning pain through her side that she gritted her teeth against.
You could pay someone out of Basilico to take you to Istanbul. You could cable your family for money from there.
He said it with such authority it was astounding.
Oh! And what exactly would I use to pay for a boat to Istanbul? Or my lodging when I got there?
Stravko kept walking, staring straight ahead.
Your gun would sell well.
Like hell I'm selling my gun!
He turned to look over his shoulder then, passing a cool look over her.
I'm sure you'd think of something.
Gabby's grip on her rifle tightened as hot rage boiled up from her chest into her head.
And what will you do then, hmm? Where are you gonna go?
I'll enlist. Do my part to fight in a real war. The army needs men. They won't let the order take me back once they have me.
She snorted derisively.
What's so bad about the order that you're hell-bent on running away from them, huh? They mistreat you or something? How'd you even get into the order?
Stravko didn't look back at her, but his shoulders stiffened.
No, they've treated me fine. It's for women, though. I'm a man now, and I should be fighting a man's war, not...
Monsters? Gabby sneered. So monster killing's beneath a man, is that about the size and shape of it?
He turned on her, his face red and eyes flashing underneath bent brows.
Do not talk to me like you have any authority
you
in this
matter. You just spoke to me like you had authority over what I do next.
You're no monster slayer. Bugamilla was the monster slayer and she's dead and you missed.
If
you were supposed to be some fancy gunslinger
like
and you
I
missed.
If I asked, I wouldn't have missed.
You're just a little girl.
And you're just a low-down coward looking for an excuse.
Gabby's voice finally rose above Stravko's, stopping him.
You're so dead set on shaking the dust of all these women off your boots that you'd abandon the people being picked off by this monster, not to mention the folks who care about you, who you said treated you well, to run off and join a man's war.
Enough!
Stravko dropped the saddlebags to the ground. Beside him, the horse started and tossed her head.
Think whatever you like. I'm getting out of here!
He turned to stalk off. Gabby whipped her rifle into the crook of her shoulder, leveled it at him, and chambered around. He froze at the sound. You know what they do to deserters in the army? She said, her voice deadly calm. You know how they feel about cowards? Slowly, he turned back toward her.
You're not going to shoot me,
he said, but the wariness in his eyes betrayed his doubts. Gabby met his gaze, unwavering.
Why shouldn't I? I'd be saving Bulgaria's army a bullet, I reckon. That's a bullet they could put to better use elsewhere. And let me just say, I take exception to your suggestion that I should just whore myself around to get home.
She was satisfied to see that her words had an impact. His reddened cheeks paled, and he swallowed hard.
Now you listen to me good. We have got a job to do, and we are going to finish what we started. After that, I don't much care what you do, but you are going to help me first. Frame it any way you like that helps you sleep at night, that it was your idea to stay, actually, or that you were just sticking around to protect the poor, hapless girl. That don't matter much to me, neither. When we're done, you can run off and join your man's war, and I won't stop you. But if you leave before we've killed that monster or died trying, you're a damn coward through and through, and I'll only give you one choice. Whether I shoot you in the front or the back. Least if it's front ways, you'll get to see firsthand how sharp I really am.
For a long, strained moment, nobody moved. Not even the horse.
I see.
You understand?
I understand.
So what's it gonna be?
I'm not a coward.
Prove it.
She lowered the rifle slightly, twitching the barrel in the direction of the discarded saddlebags.
Start by picking those up. Daylight's burning, and I'd prefer to be in that village before nightfall.
Stravko, sensibly, obliged.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The dour villager standing in the twilight before them grimaced at their horse, at the way she faltered on her back leg as Gabby walked her around in front of him. As soon as they'd entered the village and entertained the initial battery of questions, they'd asked if there was anyone interested in her. After a few long, skeptical looks, everyone but this man had dispersed. He grumbled something to Stravko, who nodded grudgingly.
He says he'll buy her, but at a quarter of her worth.
That didn't bode well. Gabby sighed.
He's gonna butcher her, isn't he?
She couldn't be ridden, couldn't pull a cart or plow. Not without a very skilled caretaker, and all the while she'd be costing money to keep. Money, by the looks of things, was in short supply in this village. Stravko shrugged.
Maybe.
Gabby shook her head.
We won't be able to buy another horse with that. We gotta have some way to get back to the cockatrice, or...
Stravko held up a hand to stop her and began rattling something off to the villager. Gabby watched him, eyes narrowed in suspicion. She had just threatened the man with death earlier that day. Stood to reason he might find any way he could to cheat her and sabotage their mission. Hell, she couldn't even judge him too harshly if he did. Seemed the understandable response. The villager swiped one giant paw of a hand across the back of his neck and made a reply, looking frustrated and distressed.
He's grateful that we're trying to kill the cockatrice.
Stravko translated simultaneously.
Because it's killed 3 of their people, 6 of their cows, and half of a flock of sheep since it came to this region. He has great respect for the order, but they're barely making it by here, especially since...
Stravko paused, listening closely to the last of the man's response.
Since the army came through yesterday and took all their horses, the whole village has to share 2 teams of oxen and his own mule for the plowing and planting.
Gabby froze, stunned, and reconsidered her memories of their walk through the village when they'd first arrived. She'd seen goats hauling carts of equipment, even the occasional burly dog under harness, but no equines. But they couldn't go on without at least one animal to ride, and she wasn't going to ride a cow into battle with a cockatrice.
Tell him we'll trade him the horse, free of charge, for the use of his mule for a few days.
She could see the villager's answer forming on his face like storm clouds, as broody and forlorn as a blue norther. Stravko translated,
He says he wishes he could help, but he can't gamble his livestock like that. Not with how the spring is already going, and not with how many times.
The orders failed to kill the cockatrice, Gabby finished.
She supposed their own presence here, short a knight and 2 horses with a lamed third in tow, was evidence enough that a trade, even one that would put meat on this man's table for days, was too risky. And there wasn't a damn thing she or Stravko possessed that would induce this villager to jeopardize his whole community's future harvest at this point. Lest they could produce a healthy horse or two, which, if they had, they wouldn't even be having this conversation. Was there a way for her to, like the army, requisition the mule on account of being a knight? She didn't know, and if Stravko did, he wasn't saying. She stroked her poor gray's neck and planted a kiss on her muzzle. The exhausted horse whickered softly and sighed, placing her own velvet lips against Gabby's shoulder.
Ask him to give her good feed and a comfortable place to stay for a night, and he's got a deal.
Money changed hands. They stripped the horse of her tack, and the villager led her away toward his abode at the end of the dirt road, murmuring sympathetically into the mare's ear as she limped down the lane. Gabby and Stravko limped in the opposite direction, up toward what passed for a watering hole in this remote part of Bulgaria. Their uniforms drew a kind of weary interest from the glum villagers already nursing their drinks at the end of a long, laborious day. Stravko dropped the saddle and its bags beside their table, Gabby likewise divesting herself of her rifle and the reins and blinders lately belonging to the gray mare. Upon ordering their food and drinks, Stravko slumped into his chair. After a long, moody silence, he spoke.
Well, you see now, there's nothing for it. We must return to Burgess.
Gabby waved a hand irritably.
With what horses? Are you suggesting we walk the whole way?
Of course not.
he groused.
We could hitch a ride on a wagon, then catch a car.
She laid a flat look on him. You heard that, man. The army's been through here. They probably took all the horses in the south, and every beast of burden that's left is going to be tied to a plow for weeks. And I'd bet good money there ain't a single soul with a car to their name in 50 miles. Stravko sat back with a scoff, crossing his arms across his chest.
What do you suggest we do then, hmm? Burgess is the only answer. We're reaching the outpost at NJ Vavoda. There's nothing we can do here.
The barkeeper's wife stopped by their table, placing two glasses of wine, watered down to a moderate strength, in front of them. Gabby took hers in hand with interest. Wine outside of communion was something of a novelty to her. Beer and other spirits were more common back home. She took a cautious sip, then another, enjoying the sweetness of it and the warmth it sent sinking into her tired bones. But the reprieve was brief. Her thoughts turned again to the plan she'd been busy formulating the whole trek through the woods. "We can do something," she stated, idly tapping the lip of her wine glass. "We just need that mule." Stravko stared at her like she was suddenly speaking gibberish.
"We already tried to bargain for the mule. It didn't work."
Gabby nodded. "I know. We tried doing it the easy way." She met his eyes. "Now it's time for the less easy one." Across from her, Stravko had just taken a broody sip of wine. He fought not to instantly spray it across the table and only barely managed to swallow. He leaned forward, hissing,
"What are you saying? That we should steal it?"
It wasn't an attractive prospect. Gabby didn't have a great track record with mules. But beggars couldn't be choosers. "Yes." He shook his head, his eyes really wide now.
You're deranged, you know that. And what exactly would we do with it if we took it? We don't have a plan."
"I do," she sniffed, then began to lay it out. Their meal arrived, simple and filling, which Gabby ate without tasting as she explained her idea to Stravko. He ate silently, glowering at her the whole while, but she was beginning to suspect that was simply his default expression. "It'd be better if we both had mounts, though," she admitted. She began eating in earnest now that she was through the plan's outline. Stravko had already cleaned his plate. He drank deeply from his wine, contemplating her proposal.
"You really think that could work?"
Gabby, her mouth full of food, simply nodded. She was relatively sure, anyway. There was always a chance they might fail. But then they'd be dead and in the Lord's care, far from feeling anything so unpleasant as regret or, God forbid, embarrassment for their missteps. Or hers, more precisely. Well, she had faith in her plan. And since no better ones were forthcoming, that would just have to do. Stravko took another long swallow, draining his wine, and signaled to the barkeeper for another. When he turned back to Gabby, she was surprised to see that behind his initial reluctance, growing headwaters of determination were forming.
"This plan is nothing less than insanity,"
he announced in a low voice. He didn't say the rest, though she could practically see it there behind his eyes. "But I'll be damned if I let a little girl show more gumption than me."
"But if you're dead set on going at that cockatrice again, we'll try it."
So it was we now. About time. Gabby was pleased they didn't need to rehash their earlier conversation held at gunpoint. She'd be damned if she let him run off to join the army, leaving her in dire straits in a country where she didn't know the language or the land.
"The villagers won't be happy."
"If all goes well, we'll return their mule tomorrow night. Maybe the next morning," Gabby said, "and then they'll have one less problem to worry about this spring."
Stravko's second round arrived, and he mulled over it while Gabby finished off her first.
"It would be better if we had two horses,"
he lamented. "It would be.
But the mule will have to do,"
Gabby started to say, when a high-pitched, whining roar caught her attention, swiftly growing louder. Stravko straightened, cocking his head toward the door. After a moment, his eyes brightened in a way hitherto unseen by Gabby. When he smiled, she almost fell out of her seat. His teeth were stained red with wine, but otherwise, it completely transformed him.
"Do you know what that is?"
he asked, eyes gleaming with excitement.
Do you?
That's the sound of an NSU motorbike.
Now he looked positively radiant.
I've read about their newest model. I even got to see one at the show at Sophia. The owner let me take a look. And then I got to ride a 3PS and an effin' Big Four while I was there.
He lapsed into what Gabby could only describe as a reverie as the motorbike's engine roared closer. Then, right outside the little inn's door, it cut off. A man stepped inside a few moments later, pulling gloves off his hands and slapping them against his pant legs to beat the dust off. The owners greeted him with special attention. He seemed to be the big hat round these parts. Had to be if he brought a motorcycle all the way out here. When Gabby turned her attention back to Stravko, he wore a completely new expression. He watched the motorcyclist, now settling into a seat with the locals, glass of clear liquor in hand, with a sharp focus, something wild capering behind his eyes. He downed the rest of his wine.
Go get the mule. Meet me where the south road turns sharply west.
He stood. Gabby half rose herself. What? What are you—
Sit down,
he hissed.
Have another drink, then leave discreetly. Trust me, I have a plan.
Trust you?
Stravko settled a weighty stare on her.
I'm not a coward, Gabby. Get the mule. Meet me when you can.
With that, Stravko gathered himself, smiled a little, and approached the newcomer and his circle of local friends, striking up a conversation with surprising ease. When Gabby left a half hour later, Stravko had already ordered a round of clear liquor in small glasses for the table, and the whole group was laughing uproariously. Seemed the boy could lay on the charm when he wanted to. To pass the time till nightfall, Gabby cleaned her Winchester on the bar stoop, and once it was clear she didn't speak the language, no comers or goers bothered her much. When she was done, she dropped her cleaning equipment back inside with the saddlebags and swung the rifle and bridle over her shoulder, abandoning the remains of their salvaged equipment as she stepped into the fallen dark. They'd need to travel light tonight, and if all went well, they wouldn't need any more supplies to do what needed to be done than what she had on her person. Gabby and mules did not have the best history. She hadn't been too certain whether Stravko would be a help or hindrance in the theft of the beast, given his clumsy handling of his own horse the day before, but an extra pair of hands might have been welcome nonetheless. The mule was in a paddock a little ways beyond the villager's house. It had been displaced from its single stall lean-to, now occupied by Gabby's gray. She was pleased to see the poor mare finishing up what was once a sizable pile of hay. The mule stood outside the stall with its ears pinned back, watching the interloper eat the remains of her generous meal with obvious hatred. Gabby cast a long look at the house. Its windows were dark beneath the emerging moonlight. She ripped up a hunk of grass growing outside the paddock and climbed, wincing, onto the fence next to the gate, perching herself on its top beam. The mule swiveled its head toward her, one ear flicking forward and up, alert. The other ear joined it when it noticed the grass in her hand.
Here, mule.
Gabby waved the grass in a come-hither motion, her lips pulled back in a grinning grimace.
Come get some fresh spring grass, soft and tender just for you, she whispered, then clucked softly.
With slow, ponderous steps, the mule made its way toward her. Gabby, sweating despite the cool night air, kept up her sweet nothings as she shook her free hand, dislodging the bridle from where she'd slung it around her shoulder and sliding it down into the palm of her hand. She'd left the saddle and saddlebags at the bar. Not only were they both too heavy to carry on her own, especially with bruised ribs, but mules weren't built like horses, so the saddle was next to useless anyway. It wouldn't fit right and would just hurt the animal. The mule paused an arm span away from her, its black eyes watching her warily, its nostrils twitching as it scented the air. It was a handsome specimen, its sorrel coat silvered by moonlight, its conformation good. It looked healthy and strong, and entirely too crafty. After regarding her curiously, the mule craned its neck forward, lips stretching to snatch the grass from her extended hand. Gabby pulled it just out of reach. The mule put its ears back, perturbed, and snorted irritably.
"Come on," she murmured, willing it to bridge the gap between them.
It took one plodding step. Another. Another. Almost close enough. There! It stepped up to her, near enough to slip on the bridle. It cropped the grass in her hand, chewing greedily. Gabby worked quickly to slip the earpiece up its head and, at an opportune moment, stuck the bit in its mouth. It tossed its head and champed at it, but otherwise allowed her to secure the buckle.
Huh.
Gabby stroked its face. Its long ears quirked forward, hopeful for more grass.
That was easier than I expected.
She grinned, taking the reins and pulling it closer to the fence.
You and me, Mr. Mule,
she began, swinging her leg over its side. We're gonna be best. The mule stepped sideways, and suddenly Gabby found herself with one leg straddling the mule, the other straddling the top rail of the fence, and nothing but air in between. She choked on a yelp, struggling for balance and purchase. She'd seen an acrobat do something like this at a circus once, and it looked painful then. Well, she could confidently say now that it did hurt. A lot. She wasn't quite sure how she did it, but she somehow managed to throw herself from the fence onto the mule's back, her arms wrapped tightly around its neck.
That was low, she panted, cross. You had your fill of fun yet?
The mule didn't answer, but it swished its tail once, which Gabby supposed would have to serve. Straightening up, she took the reins in her hands, turned the mule toward the gate, and nudged it forward. The latch was a little fiddly, but she thought she could manage it at this angle. In the village above, an engine roared to life with a deep, throaty thrum. The mule jerked.
Whoa, whoa there!
Gabby shortened the reins as the mule hopped and stamped. But then the mechanical roar pitched up into a high yowl, and that was it. The mule released a deafening bray and threw itself into the air. Gabby jounced on its back and was almost unseated, but tightened her legs just in time. It bucked again, once, twice. Fire blistered up Gabby's side, but the damn beast was just getting started. It raced around its paddock, braying and stamping, Gabby doing her best to hang on, and then a light was struck somewhere in the house, and the villager was out the door, and amid the braying and roaring came a yelling and then a gunshot. It went wide. The world was a herky-jerky blur around Gabby, and goddammit, she hated mules! With an angry cry, Gabby seized the reins and gained control of its head. Another shot cracked through the night, wide on the other side, but not as wide as the first. Screaming words her mama would have tanned her hide for using, she spurred the mule toward the back fence. It bounded forward, snorting, and Gabby braced herself, knowing this would hurt, threw itself over the paddock fence with a mighty leap. It hit the ground running on the other side, sending another bolt of pain through Gabby's seat and up her ribs. She blinked away tears and yelled, "Hyah!" smacking her heels into its sides again. They raced behind two houses, their lights also blinking on, then looped around to the village road. The mule's shod hooves threw up gravel behind them. Another shot of a different caliber sang out, and a new voice shouted after them. They turned down another dirt track that petered out into grass just as someone began banging a pot and pan together, raising the whole village with a hue and cry. Well, Gabby thought, at least they didn't have any horses left to chase her. Gabby and the mule cut across a fallow field, tearing through the grass. The road striking south out of the village came into sight, white dirt made whiter in the silver moonlight. And there, streaking up it and flinging a rooster tail of dirt up in its wake, was a motorbike. Gabby's heart leapt when she saw it, and she let loose a mighty whoop. A wild, exhilarated howl answered her. Together, Gabby and Stravko pelted off into the night, disappearing into the black of the woods in a cloud of dust and laughter. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson and its related stories are written, narrated, and produced by Jessica Linkhart, and features additional voice work by Miranda Lewis, Claire Miller, and Jamie Sykes. Art assets done in collaboration with Mitch Lewis. Thank you for listening. Our tale will continue next week.